Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really, or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
Imagine, you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
It's Valkyries Wednesday. Hosted by Marcus Thompson.
We're back. Welcome to another episode of Valkyries Wednesday. Oh, man, Nate. Is this our first episode off of an L?
Yeah,
I think about it first is. Off of an L. Like,
that was a
wild game. At first, they looked to be a little bit out of their league, and then you know that Nakase toughness kicked in, and it was just like, yeah, we're not going out like that. So they did lose to the Aces 91-81, but I thought it was. Thought it was another good measure stick against a good, really good team. Obviously, the defending champions. What was your takeaways? You were in the building. What did you think of that game?
I think they fought hard at the end. I mean, I didn't expect any less. Like even when they were down 24, I kind of knew they're gonna try to make this something at the end. This was a good test for them. I just thought that. When it came down to it, it was Asia Wilson and Jackie Young and their star power versus, you know, the defense and the system of the Valkyries. And in the end, it was just Asia and Jackie was too much. I did think to a certain extent, it did highlight their need for probably a center. I don't know how they would get one if they could sign one off the street.
Yeah, I mean, does it though? Does it?
I mean, it's been a
because Asia went crazy.
Nah, I mean, it's been kind of an ongoing thing. Like they just don't have the depth. Nor do they have.
I'm just saying. You know. I feel you, but in this situation, there's nobody you get who's gonna stop Asia. So
probably
was gonna happen anyway.
But we've seen this now. Aaliyah Boston gets hers. Yeah. You know, Alyssa Thomas got hers when they played. Like we're seeing a little bit of like, okay, like once they play these elite centers, you know, it's a little bit harder for them, especially early to kind of you know bang and in the paint with these big players. So I don't know. They're gonna. They might need to look at either upgrading or adding a body because I don't know how. I mean, they're one Kia Stokes, one Letitia Amahir, you know, injury away from having to play some of these forwards at the five.
I mean, I hear you. I get the logic. But part of me feels like you just aren't going to find a center out there. So you might as well just go the other way. All right, you took your L's to – You're gonna take your L's to Asia. Aaliyah Boston is like, you know, all WNBA talent. Like some people you're not gonna stop. Maybe the answer is to just get better at the pace and getting buckets. I mean, that third quarter was pretty much, you know, the problem, right? Like it was like, hey, what, I think they had 13 points. But typically they somehow find a way to get you 90. And
yeah.
You know they're I do want to talk about rotation and how it's working out, but it almost feels like unless you could really go get a solid, like, starting quality WNBA center, the answer is to lean in the other way and just try to punish people with transition game and defense and like spreading it out and attacking from multiple ways. Cause I don't know. I feel you. I mean, this is a very Golden State problem, ain't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty parallel with the Warriors too. I don't know if they need a center or not, but no, I see where you come from. I mean, I do think, yeah, that what happened on Sunday was that they didn't get that pace. They couldn't really turn that defense into offense the way they usually like to do, which, you know, is uncharacteristic for them, but we'll see. I mean, you know, they have some things to work out, and, I'll just throw a name though. Like, if you could go get Cameron Brink out of LA, like, would that solve some things? Or
I mean, if you could just go get Cameron Brink, sure. Just go get Cameron Brink. Just go get. Yeah, if you get Cameron Brink, you get Cameron Brink.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at teams who are like not starting off hot and might be sellers. You know, you got. I would think you give it up
to get Cameron Brink. I mean, they got some players.
They got all their picks. So, you know, if you want to make some blockbuster thing and they can make some salaries match, Cam don't make that much.
Cameron Brink is pretty lofty to just go and get. You know. Sure, every team would be good, better if they would have got, well, except the Sparks. But I think Cameron Brink would be a great fit because of, like, the rim protection. And that's probably the preeminent way to get the break started. Block. Collect the rebound, go, right? Like, that's, you know, she would fit that. I agree. Ohemba, if you can get Cameron Brink, go do it. Trade Nathan, by the way.
Oh, no. I
Nathan
can't
in a future second. how did you see the rotation working out? I know, you know, Stokes had a, I don't want to say a rust. I mean, it's Asia, bro. Like, what are we talking about here, right? But it's just interesting who ends up on a nightly basis not playing. What is the rotation from what you can see, and like, how is it shaping up? I mean, I know it's 8 games in by the time people hear this. I think they'll be 7-2. You know. No, what are they? Was it 5-3 to be?
5-3. They might be. And it could be 5-4. And Portland's tough.
Yeah, Portland is tough. Mm. I'm saying 6-3 though. Mm. I'm just saying that. What is the rotation at this point? What do you think it is? What do you see Natalie trying to do if she figures this out?
Yeah, I think she said it every time we asked. It's rotation based. It's going to be based on matchup based, and it's going to just be based on who they're playing.
Every time we ask, she's so tired of asking.
It's the same thing. But like yesterday, she tried out a new starting lineup. She took out Kyla Charles for Cechi's and Lassini. I think that was ultimately because they knew they were going to have to score some buckets against a very good Aces team. But I mean. Honestly, it's they're going to have to make some decisions because they have, they have 11 playable players. But, you know, as you know, Marcus, like, that's, they're going to have to chop that down. Like, you know, it's good to have all that depth and have a lot of people that can play. But when you get into
night to night, it's tough. Yeah.
Night to night, that's tough to do. So I think, you know, Yusta Yutite, their star rookie, I think she'll end up somewhere playing a lot. I mean, she changes the game in the last 2 games against the Fever. She gets the game in the second half. And you know, against a very good Aces team, they're down 20. She changed the game again. So, I mean, it'll be interesting how they look at it. But I do think we're gonna see more offense because that is in their losses. That's kind of what they've lacked is kind of that creator. And I think Yusta could come in and probably be a little bit of that for them. So I think she'd be one that to watch out for, but. They have, like I said, 11 playable players. They can go a lot of different routes. They tried going small these last 2 games, and it's worked a little bit. But like I said, that center rotation is going to be very interesting to see how that shapes out, especially against the Atlantas and the Vegases of the world.
You know, I don't know. I like the strategy, and I mean, they're so good from three that it covers a lot of losses, right? Like, yeah. This is the best 3-point shooting team in the league by percentage, right? By volume, by makes. Like, they just, I mean, even in a loss where they had 81 points, they hit 16 of them, right? Like,
yeah.
Like they cook from three. The problem is invariably when they go cold, where do they go? And I feel like that's what happened. Like in the third quarter, you know, they ended up 16 of 35, I think, but they only took five in the third quarter. We only had 13. So it's almost like you kind of got to play offensive to spread the floor just to be able to get the shots up, because that's your offense. It's transition. Yeah. It's threes, and it's the threat of the three spread in the court that allows your straight line drives by, you know, Veronica Burden, you know, ETL. So, like, it's almost like you kind of, it's tough to play two non-shooters if your bread and butter is the three. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you, so, you know, already, you know, you have like a, you know, I guess I can call, you basically have a center who just doesn't attempt threes, right? So now that other spot, It's tough to put a non-shooter in there if this is going to be the bread and butter of your offense. And it should be. Like, we're 8 games in, and they will shoot the lights out on you for at least a stretch in the game, like where they could play defend well enough just to get to the stretch where they hit 4 or 5, and it's like, okay, this team might crumble. So it's almost like I see why she made the adjustment. It almost feels like you kind of got to stick with it, like 4 shooters on the court at all times.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, like, they have the luxury of doing that but it also is like, you know, you have Chechi Zanlesini, Kyle Charles, and Kayla Thornton in that kind of mix to be that fourth shooter. And it's kind of who is on that night, but each of them also have their own set of weaknesses that can hinder other parts of their offense. So it'll be, I just think it's what they're searching for. I think Yusei could cover a lot of that because she is that versatile pick and roll. I could play off the ball, kind of spot up three. Like, she could do all those things. It's just kind of getting her acclimated, but she's also 20 and, you know, she's still got to adjust to the game. So there's going to be a lot of things with this rotation that will, I think, be changing in the next couple weeks. And then you got to factor in injuries. Like, they're going to get, like, Veronica Burton, we're taping this on Monday. She is questionable tomorrow, like, against Portland. So it's, you know, there's going to be some opportunities here for other players to kind of show what they want, you know, they could do. But on a night-to-night basis, I think Natalie is still trying to figure out exactly who she trusts in big games like Las Vegas, in big games, you know, going forward against, you know, some of the top teams in the league.
Is Kayla... is she playing well enough to stay in there? She was the best player on the team last year. She was so big in so many games. It feels like she's one of the players who gets lost a little bit in the variety of the approach. But it's safe to say, like, that's an ink. Kayla Thornton didn't start lineup, right?
Yeah. You know, I do think she's still kind of recovering from that knee. Like, you could just tell, there's some nights where the shot just isn't there. She's had two.
And the burst. Yeah, the burst.
Like, 2 games so far where she's had 0 points. And that's, like, uncharacteristic for her. Even when she was kind of just a role player, that's pretty uncharacteristic. But, yeah, I mean, as if you're looking at it right now, she is kind of a player that they do need her defense. Like, that is 100% something they need, especially if you're going to play in those smaller lineups.
Yeah,
she's the kind of the 5'11 guard that's going to go up and go grab those rebounds and not be afraid to battle with Asia. Like, she took on the Asia assignment early, and I thought she did okay. So, they're going to need that defense. It is hard, though, when you have, you know, she has tougher nights. Vegas wasn't a tough night per se, but, like, against Indiana, she had a little bit of a tougher night.
I like the three was falling against Vegas. Like, she started to look like, and that's what I'm there. That's another reason why I'd have a hard time pulling out the start lineup, even if she's struggling, because, like, big games, you want on the court. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that combo of Kayla and Gabby on the wings, like, that's tough.
Good luck.
That's tough. But like, I mean, that's part of the encouragement, I think, of this season is like Kayla hasn't been the Kayla we remember before the injury, and she, you know, just a baller. You know, Janelle's shot has been sketchy, right? Yeah. We haven't seen like that. Okay, you got a stretch here where you could go shoot 40% for, you know, 5 or 6 games and really punish teams. Like there's still some meat on the bone, I think, offensively.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, like to the point with Janelle, she started off the year really hot and really hasn't been all too consistent. Before the Indiana game, she hadn't scored more than 12 points, and she was pretty inefficient in every single one of those games that up to that point. And so, yeah, like they're going to need something out of, I think, Janelle, you know, and KT as well, who, you know, I think if she could kind of get back to the offense that she was playing last year, I think that would really change this team. But like some of these ancillary pieces are going to need to step up too. Like I look at, you know, even a player like Caitlin Chen or Tip Hayes, like they didn't really have great nights yesterday, but those are players that they're going to need to play spot minutes, you know, give Veronica a break. Really need to give them something, you know, other than a zero offensively, which, you know, kind of happened last night. So, they're gonna need. So it's gonna be a lot of scoring by committee with this team. I think it's gonna be one of those teams that just has a different score every night, and that's okay if they're winning. But it's gonna have to work like that, I think, pretty much the rest of the year, just the way that they play and the way that they share the ball.
All right, let's bring in our guest for this episode. What do you say, Nate? You think we should bring her on?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think we got a superstar coming in. Yeah,
superstar coming in, my homie.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
We got a superstar on the roster joining us, Marcus. Callie Finn from USA Today.
Like a real superstar, you know what I'm saying?
The Callie Finn is in the building right now. Well, I guess on the Zoom call. How you doing, Callie?
Callie Finn, what's up?
I'm so excited to chat with you guys. You guys are the best in the biz. I'm just happy to be in company with you two.
Oh, look at her, the humble. I love the humble. You know what? Callie really is humble, though. So that's why I'm gonna allow it. It's not an act for the public.
I appreciate
that. She really is humble. You were in the building for... Wait, were you in the building for the Valkyries? You were not there, but you watched it, right?
I sure did. I was tuned in.
I was not in the building either. I would love your thoughts about like how the Valkyries look. And I feel like the Aces are always a great measuring stick for how good a team is.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Valkyries look good to me. I think that Natalie Nakase is such a great coach, and the team right now has shown that they're primed and ready to build on what they accomplished last season, which I think was, I mean, superseding a lot of people's expectations. Like, you're a brand new expansion team last year. You're not really supposed to do anything. And then they make it to the playoffs, and now it's like they've just continued to build. I think they've made good additions. Now, I guess, like, Valkyries against the Aces, like you said, that's a good measuring stick because they're the reigning champions, and they looked good. I mean, the Aces, they could have lost that game just as well as they could have won it, you know? So I think that, I don't know, Valkyries were in a good spot. I've loved this team since Natalie, like, did what she did last season. And to me, it seems like it just keeps getting better and more refined.
Nate, it certainly feels like this is exactly what this game was a microcosm of what we talked about whether they need a star or not, and how much can you win, you know, in like a showdown with a team full of like proven stars. Like, it felt like that was the difference right there. Like, one team mm-hmm. knew exactly what to do and knew where to go, and the other team was trying to figure it out. Were you thinking that as you watched, Nate?
Yeah, like, I was in the building, and that third quarter, I think they outscored them like 29-13. It was like just Asia, then Jackie, Asia, then Jackie, Asia, then Jackie. It was like kind of this constant wave. And the Valkyries are such a system team. Like, they rely on, like, you know, imposing their identity, their system pretty early and often. And that's how they've won games. But that third quarter, that system wasn't systeming. It just was not working. And they really needed somebody. Vegas put them in a lot of situations where, you know, like, it was like 9-8 seconds left on the shot clock. Who's going to get you a bucket? And, you know, Veronica Burt didn't really have her best game, so you couldn't really rely on her. It felt like they kind of just, you know, keyed in on Gabby. Every time Gabby caught the ball, all eyes were on Gabby, and they didn't really have anybody else. So, you know, we talked about it, Marcus, before, about, does this team need a star? I thought the measuring stick against Vegas, like, it was pretty clear. Like, they didn't, you know, they had somebody that could get them a bucket when they needed to. Maybe that's a little bit of a different game, but they just don't have that on the roster right now. So I thought, you know, overall, it was an okay game, but and they made a little fight at the end. But yeah, it was pretty clear, like, the lack of stars on the Valkyries versus kind of the star-studded Aces was the contrast there was kind of, I felt like, what won the Aces the game.
I mean, Callie, do you feel like, how good can you be? What's the ceiling of a team that kind of has all the pieces except for that one, like, dynamic, I can do what I want when I need to player? Like, obviously, you know, a championship is the highest level, but can they make a playoff run? Can they be a serious playoff team without that figure?
I think 100%, but I will say, I think personally, I mean, when the Valkyries signed Gabby Williams, I thought that that's the star. Obviously, I think that was maybe like an overly optimistic view on my point. Not that she is not a star, but she's not the star to the extent that both of you are discussing, where it's like score at will whenever, like, yeah, the lights are the brightest and all that type of thing. But I kind of,
she's definitely a star though.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But I was kind of hoping that Gabby Williams would, like, develop into that with the Valkyries. And I don't know that that's not possible. I mean, I even think, like, Veronica Burton, like, depending on the matchup, like, she's that type of star. So I think that, to answer your question about what the ceiling is, I think it's very matchup specific. But, like, that sometimes that's, like, all it takes is just the right matchup for a deep playoff run. Like, you just need the bracket to, like, look like it should, like, in your favor, and those matchups, like, for those matchups to be good. Like, for example, I just watched before the Aces game, I was watching the Valkyries against the Fever, and I'm like, if the Valkyries get Indiana in any type of postseason situation, like, that's like free food for the Valkyries. Like, I think personally, those are two teams that, like, match up, like, that matchup is, it's in favor of the Valkyries. And I think there are a few teams like that in the W where, like, you know, compared to, like, X team, the Valkyries to me look like a postseason contender, if that makes sense.
No question. I actually think, I don't know, it's growing on me, this method. Like, I mean, just in a W, man, you just got to have a beast. Like because the talent is so concentrated, no matter what, you're going up against, you know, a legend at some point. So it almost feels like, man, you just put the ceiling if you don't have that. But I actually think, like, it's growing on me, Nate. Like, the way they play defense, the kind of versatility of how they can approach end-of-game situations. Because, you know, the way Gabby's shooting the ball, clearly, the way Becky had her, like, hey, in your sights, like, we can't let her loose. Let you know, like, this is getting around that she can get a bucket. But, you know, if you ever get, you know, Janelle Salon clicking at the same time and, you know, get some of these other players just rolling, you could be in a situation where their strength is you don't know who to go to. And it's actually growing on me. I know you were saying this from the beginning, yeah, but it's actually growing on me, this as a kind of a building philosophy towards the championship.
And you know what? They might have that star. I mean, she only played a few minutes, but like you say, Yochite, for the second night in a row, came into the game and gave them the offensive spark they needed, you know, to win a game. Against Indiana, you know, Natalie talked about, I don't know if I'm going to play her. She puts her in at the 6-minute mark of the third quarter and she doesn't come out. And when Indiana made their run, and that was kind of when Indiana made their run, but with Yusei on the floor, their offense was solid. Same thing against Las Vegas, where she puts her in at like the 5-minute mark. They're down like 20 already. They go on 11-0 run as immediately as she comes into the game. So I think there's some, you know, there's obviously some ways they're going to be able to, you know, match up well. But they might, you know, we talk about, you know, do they have the star? This piece with Yusei might be the one that kind of unlocks a little bit more of this team. We just have to see her a little bit, you know, play a little bit more than I think 5 minutes and a half.
Why did she only play 5 minutes? That was a very small stint for how she looked.
She's, according to Natalie, in post game, she said she doesn't want her to play too much and get herself hurt. She still thinks that, you know, conditioning wise, she's not there. She still thinks that like the playbook hasn't really clicked with her yet. But it's pretty clear she comes into the game, you know, and pretty much, you know, changes the way that their offense looks. So, I mean, I don't know, man, they might have to, they might have to start. I mean, she might be starting soon. I mean, that's how I think impactful she's been in the game. But I do want to shift a little bit to Caitlin. And I mean, it started with the Valkyries, right, on Thursday. But again, in Portland,
by the way, his GOAT, Callie. He's got to declare that his GOAT, Caitlin.
That is
right. Caitlin Clark is your GOAT, your greatest of all time in the WNBA.
This is not true. This is falsified facts. I've never claimed
it's a tad hyperbolic, a tad though.
But you love Caitlin Clark is what it sounds like. That is what Marcus Thompson is.
I think she's a very good player. I think her ceiling as a player can be top, you know, top five. But Marcus has made this as like
he meant all time. By the way, he made top five all time. That's what he did.
Hey, I mean, I'm sure there are lots of people that would agree with him. I think all time is a little, well, in light of recent games, your takes have not changed. You're looking at some of these past performances and thinking this is a GOAT among us.
Yeah, I think my stock took a hit a little bit with some of these defensive performances. I mean, the way that Veronica went at her on Thursday and then Carla Late for Valkyrie on I think that was Saturday.
Carla Late, like, she got the cliff notes for Veronica, right? It was crazy.
We talked, Marcus, about the ISO call, which is head tap, and I swear, I felt like every time they saw her, it was like, you know, tapping the head. It's like, all right, ISO.
They're saying go at her.
Yeah, I don't know. Do these last two games kind of change the way you guys think about Caitlin, or has the league figured out?
I'm gonna say no, because like I told you, if you're ever going to be good, this was always going to happen. Like, she's going to be tested. She's going to be pushed. And then we'll know if she gets through this, whether or not she's one of them. But she can be one of them, but you don't get to not go through this. That's my point, Callie, the whole time. So you're the floor is yours, superstar.
Well, I love like this idea of like my perspective on her ceiling changing, because personally, like, I don't feel any different about Caitlin Clark than I did last season. And I think, okay, covering the Valkyries, you guys have you should understand where I'm coming from, because Natalie Nicasio made it clear last season when Caitlin Clark was like coming in and out of injury, the game, I think it was like maybe, they at least played twice and were really effective defensively against Caitlin Clark. And Natalie Nicasio was like very clear that the defensive game plan is make her feel pressure, and that she said that blatantly in a presser. I remember it. She was saying like, Caitlin Clark, like all you have to do is like make her feel pressure. That's the game plan for us. And it was very successful. I think at least one of those games, she scored less than 10 points against the Valkyries, or it was like 10 points around that. And I think let me recenter. I think that the thing that makes Caitlin Clark so exciting has always been her offensive prowess, right? Like her three-point shooting. We love the logo threes and that type of thing. That is what makes Caitlin Clark so exciting. She's never been an incredible defender. She had been previously a decent defender. My good friend Nikias Duncan will call her a do-your-job defender in the past. She's regressed defensively. So that's like one reason why I think people are going, oh, we need to like change our perspectives on Caitlin Clark. I personally don't agree, because I'm like, nothing's really changed that much. Like, offensively, yes, shots aren't falling. That will come and go for her. I would imagine she's still like trying to find her legs through injury and all these different things. But like the defensive thing is like, to me, it feels that's like going to be a choice for her. It's like, I'm either going to work to become a better defender or I'm not. Like that's like her decision. So I just feel like in terms of like my perspective changing, this is like a very like loopy answer. I feel like I'm all over the place, but like my perspective's not changing on her. Like, I don't really feel like anything's actually changed with her as a player, if that makes sense.
To me, the one thing that's changed, and it hasn't changed since last year, but maybe since her rookie year, I feel like all of this is much more tolerable if she actually made shots. And that's, to me, the part that's changed. She came into this league as the Steph Curry of the league. Yeah. Like, she was the one with the logo three. She just doesn't make shots consistently enough. She's at, like, after her rookie season, she's at 29% from three. She's got it up to like 33% this year. But bottom line is, she was never a great defender, but she has the potential to be like the engine of an elite offense because of her shooting, because of her passing, because she's got great size for a point guard. And she's got Aaliyah Boston, and she knows how to feed her, right? Like that. Mm-hmm. She can be a great offensive engine, but if she's not making shots, she becomes a different player very fast. If she's making shots, it's a game changer. If she's not making shots, then she's basically gravity and a great passer and much more of a quintessential point guard. So to me, the thing that's changed is whatever is happening with her shot, she has to get that back. She's got to be able to go out and punish teams that play a poor pick and roll, like that don't get over the screen or lose her in transition. She's got to punish them, and she's not doing that.
I don't really think that's like a real, like, I don't think that's like a real, like, I don't think she's actually, well, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like she's been open about the injury thing. Like, that's been hard for her mentally, like coming back from injury. So in my mind, I'm just like, I don't know if her struggling as a shooter is like a real problem in my mind. Because to me, it seems like something she'd work out, but maybe I'm wrong.
Perhaps. No. I think you're right about that.
It's interesting because I do think it, I wonder if this forces, because if you look at the way that their roster is constructed, they're not a deep team. And like they're, what you would call their stoppers or their defensive minded players are like Lexi Hull and Sophie Cunningham. I just don't think they're consistent enough on that end of the floor to kind of be that throughout a season. And I just wonder if this is going to maybe look, if they're going to look, if this Caitlin thing persists and teams are going to continue to pick on her and it's gonna, you know, and she still gets scored on, how much they're gonna look at, you know, trying to acquire maybe another two-way player that can help out, because it just the way the roster is constructed, it's very easy to pick on Caitlin and not, you know, I don't think Aaliyah's a natural shot blocker, natural threat at the rim that teams are scared of. That was kind of clear in the Valkyries game with Veronica Burton going past her and not really caring who's back there. I wonder if they have to go get somebody to kind of help this defense, because I think it's currently constructed, as you guys are pointing out, with Caitlin being this much of a liability, it's going to be hard for them to kind of get to that championship bubble that they want to get to.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, the Aces are like the standard, you know, you're just going to have to get through them. And I'm just thinking about that matchup. Can you imagine Las Vegas in a playoff series? Like, they're just, I mean, they have the most brutal 1v1 players. You know, Chelsea Gray just murders great defenders. Can you just imagine that? Like, Callie, would they show any mercy? Probably not.
We do remember the postseason last year, right? Obviously, Caitlin Clark was not healthy, so she wasn't playing. But the Fever without Caitlin Clark gave the Aces a problem in the playoffs. Y'all remember that? The second round of playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
So,
Kelsey Mitchell was incredible.
Kelsey Mitchell was out of this world. And then they had, what was it, Odyssey Sims, Hoopin. Odyssey
Sims came out of nowhere.
They had, cool. I mean, like, they looked good. So, I mean, I'm never underestimating the Fever. I do think the Fever Aces matchups I've seen with Caitlin Clark on the court, they don't inspire confidence in the Fever, in Indiana's favor. I do think that, I don't know, when in the games that I've seen where the Aces are playing the Fever and Caitlin Clark is on the court, the Aces seem to have a much easier time winning. So I don't know what's the best way to phrase that. But yeah, I would think a series like as the Fever look right now against the Aces, man, that would be like rough for, that'd be really rough for Indiana.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really, or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I do think that's an important point. Like Kelsey Mitchell is not a great defender either. So you got two of them out there. You know what I'm saying? It's like somebody's getting cooked. So that's the difficulty of that backcourt. And with just Kelsey there, you could kind of, or just one there, you can work some things throwing a defender. But two of them, mate, I don't know. You can't throw two of them back there.
No, I think this, I mean, we might see Raven Johnson has been a pretty elite on-ball, you know, point-of-attack defender for them. I wonder if she finds her way into a starting lineup and they just kind of say, well, we're just going to go small and we need a defender out there. I don't know how that'll work, but, you know, she has been playing pretty well.
So, Callie, how real is Las Vegas? Is this they look actually pretty good for a team that probably shouldn't be caring about the regular season anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, I was actually just telling somebody that right before this call. Like, I tend to really take things loosely in the regular season with the Aces. I mean, even before this past season where they strung together a WBA record win streak to like win the title because they had been so mid throughout the bulk of the regular season. But even before that, like 2024, like, yes, they were eliminated in the semifinals and all that, but like, it was clear to me, like, this is a championship team that, like, to me, the regular season is not a good indicator of where they're at. So that said, they look great right now to me. I think some of the funny things that, I mean, are just unavoidable with the Aces are like, okay, they lost their season opener because it was their ring night, and then they lost their second home game of the season because it was their banner raising, and they've just historically struggled, I think, in
games. A lot of champions do. Yeah, those
like whenever games. It has anything to do with like a ceremony, for some reason they have a really hard time. Like even when Asia Wilson was presented with the MVP award, like they really struggled in that game afterward. So those types of things are like, that's just par for the course with the Aces. Otherwise, like, I feel like they haven't done anything that concerns me deeply. I didn't like the way that they looked against the Dallas Wings the other night. I don't know when that was. What was that, like, Friday? What's today? I don't know. But I remember that was AZ Fudd's starting debut. That was just, like, a couple of days ago. But that game didn't look great, in my opinion. But the Wings are a team that are just, like, trending upward. They have a lot of reason to win. Aces, maybe they're like, hey, this is just a game against the formerly, you know, bottom of the league Wings. So maybe they didn't take it that seriously. I don't know. But I think one thing that stands out to me with the Aces is it seems to me that they're trying to like adapt to, and this is going to be a much larger conversation with like multiple teams, but the way that officiating has changed. And I know that like Becky was pretty outspoken about that after the Dallas Wings game. She had like a pretty profanity laden press conference. Just about how calls aren't really going in their favor. And she's right. Like the numbers back her up. They're not getting as many free throws as other teams. And so I do think like if that's like a problem still a month from now for the Aces, then that actually will be a problem. I just don't think it will be. I think that they'll adapt. But they're definitely trying to figure it out right now. Like they're just not having an easy time like getting to the free throw line. So that to me is something that stands out. Otherwise, like I really like Kennedy Carter on the Aces, and she's one of the reasons why I think that like they're even more formidable than they were last year. As long as Kennedy can just, I don't know, embrace her role and continue to do that. She had some interesting social media activity this weekend, and that's not, you know, out of character for her. I think that's one of the reasons why she wasn't in the league last year. So I really hope that like as long as Kennedy Carter can like embrace her role and then they can adapt to the way officiating looks, I don't see why they wouldn't be on top of everybody's list as the top team to beat this season, like for the championship.
Yeah, Callie, I wanted to ask you about Kennedy Carter because Natalie had a really interesting quote yesterday. She compared Kennedy Carter, she called her like the modern day Allen Iverson, which I thought was kind of interesting. Like with that, like in mind, like with some of the kind of the character issues that she's had, how has like Las Vegas kind of channeled that and kind of integrated her into that championship culture? And I mean, just how big of a pickup has she been since, I mean, I don't know if many teams in the league were looking at her, but it seems like this could be something that could really elevate them maybe even further than last year.
Yeah. I mean, I love that question about like how they're integrating her, because that was something I was really curious about. The last time I was at practice, I was asking a ton of people like as many questions as I could about Kennedy Carter, because I'm trying to figure out the same thing. And the general sense that I got is that the team is trying to build trust with Kennedy right now, because that's something that she not has struggled with in the past, but like that's an important thing. Like Kennedy needs to feel like she can trust the people around her, the players, the coaches. And so that's something like Becky Hammon said, like, we're just trying our best. Like, we don't really even know her that well. Like, we don't know her personality. Like, we're just trying to build that trust. And so Chelsea Gray, Kirsten Bell, a whole bunch of players told me that they were starting to feel like as recently as last week that she was like warming up to them in a personal sense. Like maybe now she's like, she was starting to come out of her shell. She was starting to like make jokes and like show a little bit of like this personality. Cheyenne Parker-Tyus, who's one of the Aces like veteran forwards, like she played with Kennedy in Atlanta, which is where Kennedy was drafted. And she mentioned a lot of people don't really understand, like, Kennedy has a very sensitive personality. Like, she's actually a sweetheart is the direct quote that Kennedy Carter, I mean, that Cheyenne Parker-Tyus gave me about Kennedy. And so, like, they're just trying to, like, embrace that, you know, and, like, make her feel welcome. And so I spoke to Kennedy, and she mentions that, like, she never envisioned this type of role for herself coming off the bench and, like, being a candidate for Sixth Player of the Year. Like, right now, I feel like she's the leading candidate for Sixth Player of the Year. She's, like, setting records, and like through her first six games for the Aces, she had like averaged a scoring clip that like no other player has in WNBA history. Some crazy stuff like that. Don't quote me on it though. But like it was something.
Kennedy's
like
a
that.
Legit hooper, bro. Like yeah, she is a legit hooper.
Legit. But so I think that like I don't know. She it really. And I know I keep saying this, but it's really about her just like embracing the role that she has, and like. There are ways that the Aces are putting trust into her. Like, yes, she's not starting, but like at practice, I'll hear them tell her, like, you're a 94-foot player. You're a 94-foot player, right? Like that's they want her to do everything that she can possibly do, like on the court. Like they want to like empower her to do everything that she's like skilled at doing. So I hope that it works out. I think I'm like a little skittish now just because I think if you go on social media and you're like alluding to, I guess, being on a leash and like you're like talking to, you know, a little like kind of poking at like rookies, like she was talking about AZ Fudd on Twitter and or threads or whatever. That just makes me nervous because it's like, oh, we don't need that. Like we just want her solely focused on her team and her role. And I just think that if like she can do that and that the Aces can support her in that, she'll be good. But otherwise, like, she was signed on a training camp contract. Like, this is a non-guaranteed one-year deal. They could, like, waiver if they wanted to. So, stuff like that comes to mind for me with Kennedy.
Yeah, I wanted, the other thing I want to talk to you about, Callie, is, like, you know, obviously, Natalie was on staff with Becky, and they won a championship. And, you know, Natalie has credited Becky with so much of, you know, what she's learned as a coach. Is there anything that Natalie instilled while she's an assistant that still kind of hangs around the Aces or that they still kind of use to this day?
That's an interesting question. Anything that Natalie instilled that the Aces still utilize?
Yeah, like either culture-wise. I mean, I know she was an assistant, but like, is there anything that, you know, Asia or Jackie, they talk about in terms of Natalie and stuff that they still learn from her time there?
Yeah, I mean, I know that like what I heard from players is that she was like really key on the defensive end with some of the stuff that she installed. But of course, like Becky she's hired a bunch of assistants since Natalie left, and they've kind of like really changed the way that they approach the defense. So I don't know if that's like lingered. I do think that what's in that to me about Natalie is she really prioritized relationships with players. Like I tell this story a lot, but like the first conversation I ever had with Natalie, she was telling me how she'd just come from Pilates with Kelsey Plum at the time. Cause my first year was covering the Aces was 2024. And Kelsey was like having a rough year at the time. Like personally, she was going through a divorce and all these different things. And Natalie was like just making a point to spend a lot of time with her. And I thought that that was something really interesting. And I do think that that's just like a through line through the Aces. Now, I don't know if that's like Natalie's influence or what, but like she, like now Becky will do that. Like she'll take players to dinner. Like she'll do these personalized gifts for players and things like that at the start of the season. So I don't know, like maybe that's just like an approach that she and Becky already shared, or maybe that's like a way that Natalie kind of like rubbed off on the team. But it was very apparent to me that Natalie really cared about those personal relationships and like fostering those. And I don't know if that would like be obvious to everybody, because to me, Natalie was like intimidating more so than like Becky. Like Becky, Becky to me is somebody, she's like approachable, even if some people don't feel that way. But like Natalie is just like seems so serious and like so focused on who. But no, like a lot, like maybe people don't know that, but like she really cares about like that off the court stuff and like fostering relationships. So that to me seems like something that lingers from her. I don't know, like the way that like she builds a culture.
Superstar Cali Fed, USA Today, my homie. Thank you for joining us to talk a little WNBA hoops, some Valkyrie, some Caitlin, some Aces, and we kind of need to see you at Ball Hollow one of these days. So stop ducking.
I need to go. So yeah, that's my plan. Obviously, the Valkyries are about to be here in Michelob Ultra Arena in a couple of days. But yeah, as soon as chance I get to be at Valhalla, I'd love to go.
All right, that's the episode. We'll be back at you next Wednesday with another one. And make sure you like and subscribe. Leave that 5 stars, you know, Warriors Plus Minus delivering you Valkyries 2 as well. Shout out to my guy, Nathan Canelau, the Mercury News, the star. I'm going to say it. Some people are going to be mad, but I'm going to say it. The star Valkyries beat writer of the Mercury News.
Can't disagree with that.
Yeah, I bet you can't. We appreciate it. We'll keep bringing you all the Valkyries info we have with guests and dialogue and good conversation. Thanks for listening.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out. Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.